All right. Good morning, everyone. Good to be here today. Last week we were gone, and the Miller family was here, and Mark kind of filled my spot, and that was appreciate that. But we're back in the book of Galatians today. We're going to be in chapter 6 of Galatians, and I think we're going to kind of even finish the book of Galatians today. We were in the book of Matthew for, 2.5 years and went through Galatians in, 3 months? So, of course, it is quite a bit smaller book, too. But Galatians 6, we're going to be. It's been interesting. We're with the timing of our scripture reading schedule in our class, we've kind of been paralleling that as we go, and we're going to do that again today. And I appreciate Roy's reading, and I always thought, Roy, if you ever need anything to do, you could be one of those audible book guys. You have a good reading voice, and I appreciate that. So the story that we see there it's pretty neat, and it's been fun to do that. And I think we're going to probably, pretty soon here, we're gonna get skipped ahead in class, and then our scripture reading is going to be reviewed. But so anyway, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself there, I guess, a little bit, but Galatians 6 we're going to be today. And as we've seen through this letter that Paul has written here, that the biggest focus, I guess you could pull out or see here from this letter is, obviously, the Galatians were struggling with the idea of putting some of the practices of the old covenant law upon the Christians. And one of the big ones that we had talked about was, you know, the idea of circumcision and some of the physical, earthly things of the old covenant, and trying to burden the Christians under the new covenant with this. And we've talked quite a bit about our freedom in Christ and the grace that God has given us and the opportunities we have as Christians to be freed from that stuff and to not be bondservants of those physical things or those ideas of the old law. So in chapter 6, we're going to kind of see a conclusion a little bit of, or, you know, the ending of Paul's letter here. And I don't always put very much stock, I guess, in the subtitles I have in my Bible, because that's just somebody's idea of you know, what the scripture says, and it's not necessarily, you know, it's not an inspired thing. But mine today was interesting. It's in the top of mine in chapter 6, it says, "Bear one another's burdens." And I think that's something that is important for us as Christians to understand what that means and what that does for the individuals on both sides of that, I guess. And Paul addresses that here. That's something that was important for him to talk to the Galatians about. And we see, we're going to go to a few other scriptures too where this is talked about in some other places as well. So it's an important thing. And as we're growing as individuals in Christ, or as we're building up the body in Christ, it's something that's good for us to do. And Paul understood the importance of being able to do that in the proper way, I think, is maybe one way to say it. So we have went through this book, we've kind of fought through this idea of having these restrictions upon people, these restrictions of these physical elements of the Old Testament, or the Old Covenant. And then Paul's going to kind of conclude with this thought here, and I think it's good for us. So we're going to start in Galatians chapter 6, just in the first verse there. It says, "Brethren, even if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are in spirit, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, lest you too may be tempted." So, what's our first thought there is, we're to help somebody that's struggling, right? I mean, that's the simple term there. And those of you who are in spirit, restore such a one in spirit and gentleness. And I think one of the important things here is to look at that part of it, in spirit of gentleness. And I think another big part of this verse here is, what's the instruction there Look to yourself. Don't be so caught up and worried about the sin or the temptation that your brother is struggling with and fall into that trap yourself. So it's important for us to be mindful and to be sound of what we're doing before we can do it. Scripture I want to turn to. We're gonna flip around quite a bit today, and I apologize for that a little bit. But if you don't have time to get there and just want to make a note of it and go back and check it later, you're free to do that too. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 is where we'll turn next. Kind of look at this a little bit more. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 14. And if anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that man and do not associate with him, so that he may be put to shame. And yet do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So this idea of helping your brother, it's not a bad idea or the worst idea to make them feel a little bit, a little bit separated. We always want people to be included, and it's a great thing to have this bond of unity. But the key there is the unity and truth there. And if you have a brother that's struggling or he's trapped in sin somewhere, don't just, sweep him in under your arm and say, "Ah, it's going to be all right." In a way, Paul said, make him feel excluded. That maybe, maybe the light will come on a little bit here. We want to do that not in a way that I don't want to get ahead of myself too far here, I guess, but we want to do that to help them, to bring them back. And sometimes it takes, a little kick once in a while to somebody to open their eyes. So as we think about, if we go back to the idea there in Galatians 1, that if somebody is caught in a trespass, maybe that's one approach we need to have is, don't allow them to feel like that's okay. Maybe that's one way to put it. And in doing so, again, we take the caution that Paul gives us here in this verse and take this opportunity maybe to, hey, check out yourself a little bit and make sure you're not struggling with this same thing or something likewise, before you, go to someone else. Now, if we turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll flip to next, just back a few books, I guess. And like I said, we're gonna flip between a few today, but it's all going to be kind of in a pretty close area here too, so that might help. 1 Corinthians 4, we'll start in verse 16. I exhort you, therefore, be imitators of me. For this reason, I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, that he will remind you of my ways which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some have become arrogant as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills, and I shall find out not the words of those who are arrogant, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. What do you desire? Shall I come to you with a rod of love or of a spirit of gentleness? So Paul is kind of a heads up or a warning here. And then 21, he asks a question, how should I come? How should I approach you? Do I come and do I beat this idea into your head, or do I beat you down? Or do I come with a spirit of gentleness? Just as he talks about that same spirit of gentleness in Galatians chapter 6 there. And we have to do things in a way that is profitable for the individual that, as Paul wasn't necessarily talking about an individual here, but maybe the church as a whole. We know, in Corinth, Paul, the letters in Corinthians cover some pretty in-depth stuff, and Paul wasn't, they weren't pinpointed to one person either. He was coming to them as a whole, but the same mindset still applies. Paul has to decide what is going to be the most profitable way to talk to these people about their problems. Is the simple thing that he was trying to figure out. And sometimes I think we get the idea, you know, a spirit of gentleness. That doesn't mean we just have to be passive either. You know, that spirit of gentleness still has to be backed up by the truth and what God's will and desire is and what Scripture teaches us. And it can be applied in a gentle way, but it doesn't have to be in a way that just always makes everybody feel great. It needs to be in a way that can have some conviction as well, right? But I think we can accomplish that and still have a spirit of gentleness. And we do this all with the purpose of restoring. Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. And by restoring, we're looking at restoring not their physical well-being, but their spiritual. That's what Paul's concerned about here. In this whole book of Galatians, he's worried about the spiritual health and the spiritual well-being of the Galatians. And that's what he's talking about here, is restoring someone spiritually. Let's go on to verse 2. Bear one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Help each other out. Love your brother. Right? Be there for one another. Let's turn to Romans chapter 15. Over to the book of Romans. Start in verse 1. Romans 15. Now, we who are strong ought to bear the weakness of those without strength, and not just please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach thee fell upon me. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scripture we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. So, again, we see in this letter here that Paul wrote to the Romans that we are to, the ones that are strong are to bear the weakness of those without strength. Again, Paul's not worried about physical things here. He's not talking about those that are physically weak or physically strong. We're not, on a side note, I guess that's good to do that, to help somebody, you know, with things that they can't do. But Paul's concern here was spiritual. And let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. We do these things not to, not so we ourselves can boast, or to lord it over someone that hey, you know, I'm doing this for you, or you need this from me. No, we do it for the edification of our brother, and to help them and to uplift them. And when I started there, I talked about bear one another's burdens, and I think before, you know, and I want to stress that the burdens that we're concerned about are the spiritual burdens that people carry, the things that are going to tear them down, and are going to cause them to stumble, and going to cause their spiritual life to die. That's the death that we worry about, or we should be worried about, is our spiritual or eternal death, and that's what Paul's concerned about. When he's teaching these people and trying to correct them of their errors of their ways. Another passage in Romans, just turn back a few chapters to chapter 8. Chapter 8 of Romans, and again we'll start in verse 1. Talk about the freedom we have in Christ a little bit. Paul's going to address a little bit of that here. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. in order that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace, because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Talking about having a spirit that is alive, and that righteousness is what gives us, it fulfills that. Fulfills that law, the law of the Spirit. And any time that that we can help to restore someone, to give them the opportunity to have that life or to continue that life, it's a great thing. It's a great thing for us to do for one another. And we don't want to get caught, I guess you could say, in the trap where we're just... And I think this is what Paul's talking about quite a bit here back in verse 1 is we don't just go around our whole life just looking for somebody that has a problem, you know, so we can help them out. You know, you need to pay attention to your own spiritual life and your own burdens as well. But if there's a need there with somebody, we need to help them. We need to help bear that load, bear that burden. Verse 3 of Galatians 6 reads, "For if anyone thinks he is something, then he is nothing. He deceives himself." So if we think that on our own accord, we're somebody that's great and set ourselves up and, you know, look down upon people and say, "Hey, you need to do this wrong. You need to do this. You need to do this." What does Scripture say? He is nothing. And Paul is a great example of the opposite of that. He is somebody that knows what his strength is, where it comes from, and he also has the confidence. He tells people in his letters, "Be like me, because I am of Christ." Right? Paul's not saying, "Be like me because I'm this great person, but if you can follow my example," he knows that's where they need to be. He has great confidence in his spiritual strength, in his spiritual health. And that's a great thing. And we should be able to do that. We should strive to have that as well. But he does not do that to build himself up. He does that to build up the body of Christ. And that's the important part there. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 5. And this is a little bit different example, but I think it's very applicable here of someone that... has set themselves apart, or they're trying to be somebody great. Acts chapter 5, and I always thought Gamaliel was a wise man when he gave his counsel or his advice to the Jewish people. Acts chapter 5, verse 36. "For some time ago, Theudas rose up claiming to be somebody, and a group of about 400 men joined up with him. And he was slain, and all who were followed him were dispersed and came to nothing." Okay, so this is when the gospel was spreading. This idea of the new covenant was taking hold, and there was a lot of resistance against it. And I know this is a whole different story here, kinda. But Gamaliel, he has kind of some wise words here, and he tells them, maybe we need to just kind of let this thing play itself out. If this is just another thing coming along the way here, it's going to just fizzle out, right? But he tells him, if it is actually from God, we're going to find ourselves fighting God. And he knew they could not do that. And he gave this example of somebody that they claimed to be somebody great, and short version of it is, a little bit of time went by, and they became nothing. And those following them became nothing. Something that important for us to remember that We have this freedom. We have that burden of the slavery of sin lifted from us. This is all stuff that is given to us from God. That's where we receive it. It's not stuff that we do that we can boast about on our own accord. We do it because we have that life and that eternal life within us. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks that he is wise in his age, let him become foolish that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. For it is written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasoning of the wise, that they are useless. So then, let no one boast in men, for all things belong to you. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all things belong to you. And if you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. The one who thinks that he's wise, let him become foolish that he may become wise. It's not on our own accord that we're going to have success or that we're going to get anywhere. And I like the reminder in verse 23 there. And you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. He's talking to the church here, right? He's talking to Christians. He's talking to the saints. All right? It's something for us to remember, and it's important. Don't get caught up in things of this world. He is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness, right? The great deceiver. Satan, he's there to tie somebody up in their foolishness and to pull them down and to destroy them. And if we can see that happening within somebody and we can help them to be delivered from that with a spirit of gentleness, we're going to restore their soul. That's what Paul's talking about here in Galatians 6. He wants that restoration of someone's soul. Let's turn back to Galatians now. Kind of move along here. Galatians chapter 6 again. Pick it up in verse 4. But let one examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regard to another. For each one shall bear his own load, and let the one who has taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. The old saying, you know, you reap what you sow. And Paul's, again, using this example here, and then in verse 9 there, talks about not losing heart, for in due time. Be patient. Things might not happen automatically or instantly for us. Everybody wants this instant gratification all the time, right? And this, our society is just surrounded and just swarmed by it. Be patient. You will reap what you sow. Sometimes the growing season is longer than others as well, right? Sometimes the time before planting and harvest is a long, you know, can be a long time. You need to be patient. What you sow today, it's not going to be ready for harvest tomorrow. It's going to take some time. Let's turn to a few scriptures here to talk about this just a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 6. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Again, we see Paul using this idea of sowing and of reaping. And then turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9.
Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulteresses, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. All such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Okay, you reap what you sow. And if you're going to sow the things of this world, you're going to reap the death of this world. It's just, that's plain and simple. And if you want to sow spiritual things and plant things in your life that are going to grow and are going to flourish and are going to build your spiritual life, you're going to reap that as well. You're going to reap that spiritual eternal life. You're not going to have that death that sin causes. Romans chapter 6. Let's turn over there. Look at one more example here with this thought. Romans chapter 6, verse 20. Romans 6, verse 20. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you when deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The outcome is eternal life. That resulting in sanctification, outcome is eternal life. And as Christians, that is our goal, that is our hope, that is our want, that is our desire. That was Paul's desire for not only himself, but all those around him. And he had a great love for the church, for his brothers. And when they stumbled, he was worried. He was concerned. He wrote letters to them. I mean, obviously the communication then, you know, put yourself in those times, was so much different than it is now. But, you know, he put pen to paper and he sent these letters. And he had a desire to go see these people. He wanted to get back to them, to help them. In all the different regions he went. I think that part of the reason Paul, he couldn't sit still very long, because for one thing he wanted to help new people, but then those that the churches that he helped build, he wanted to make sure they were doing good, doing all right still. He just couldn't just forget about them and go away. When he saw them struggling, he struggled. It hurt him. It almost pained him for him to know that they had the troubles that they did. So Paul was very much wanting to bear the burdens of those around him. He was wanting to help them, to help them to increase. Let's go back to Galatians 6 now in verse 10. I'll try to get through here, I guess. We've got a little bit left, but maybe should have done this in a two-part thing, but bear with me here. Verse 10. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially those who are of the household of the faith. It's kind of as I just alluded to a little bit. Your brothers and your sisters around you, take note of that. They're special. We belong together. We're a family together, right? We all belong to that household of the faith. And it's not wrong for us to set them apart, maybe, and, you know, do something special for them, or spend more time worrying about them than you are worried about the world. We're supposed to do that because we want to be there for one another and to help one another. Just turn one reference here to the book of Ephesians, just over just a few pages, the next chapter, Ephesians chapter 2, talking about the household that we are of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of God's household, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself, the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. So we're being built up in that household, God's household, our fellow saints. We belong together, and it's okay for us to stick together. and to help each other out and to watch out for one another. Back to Galatians verse 11. And again, the idea that that Paul is wanting to help. Verse 11, "See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand." Again, Paul, he's writing these letters. He's trying to get there. He's trying to reach people in any way that he can. We go on to the verse 12. "Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised, simply that they may be may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh." Again, he goes back a little bit now to this idea that this letter has been talking about is these requirements of the law, that there's people that are trying to press these requirements on the Christians, and they can't even do these things themselves, but they're doing it in a way that they may boast. And you know, hey, I saved this guy. You know, he wasn't doing what he's supposed to do, but you know, he became circumcised. He's following things of the law. You know, he owes me. You know, that's not it at all. That's not at all how this is supposed to work. Verse 14. "But may it never be that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." That's where Paul feels or knows that he could boast, you could say, is in Christ. Because that's all he's got. That's what we have. That's where our strength and our hope comes from. Let's finish out here a little bit in this chapter, talking about the idea of being a new creature, a new creation. In verse 15, "For there is neither circumcision..." For "neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation." That's what we are as Christians. We are a new creation. And Kirk talked about this a lot earlier on when we were going through the book of Ephesians in class. A couple examples I wanted to pull out today was Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 2. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore remember that formerly the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at the time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." So, talking to the Gentiles here, remember the old covenant at the time when you did not belong. You could not be part of this. You were cut off from this. But not that it's not that way anymore. "But now in Christ Jesus, you were formerly far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ." That's what the new covenant does. That's what the gospel does, is it brings everybody near by the blood of Christ. If you just turn over a few pages to Ephesians 4, maybe just one page. Ephesians 4, verse 21. Ephesians 4, we're starting verse 21. "If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth as in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is the likeness of God, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth." Again, we're that new creature, that new being. "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self." We set aside the things of this world. We set aside sin. We're no longer bound by those things. They no longer have that grip over us. We're that new creature with the opportunity to grow in righteousness and to be drawn near and to be part of that body or that family that that God has given to us and has created. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, and we'll start in verse 9. This is maybe a familiar passage, but I think it still speaks volumes. Do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have been put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and freeman, but Christ is all and in all. And those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should forgive. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in the word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. That is a picture of who we should be and how we should respond to those around us, whether they're our brother or whether they're someone of this world. We're supposed to be a shining light. There's no distinction between Greek or Jew anymore, right? We all are one that belong to Christ. And that's the only thing that separates people anymore, is whether you belong to him or not, whether you belong to the world and what holds it, or whether you belong to Christ. And Paul stresses that. We just saw through some of the examples, say, not just in the letter to the Galatians, but we saw examples in Corinth, in Ephesians, in Colossians. I mean, that was Paul's message he was trying to get across so many different times. And he understood the importance of it and knew that people needed to really focus and have this idea grasp in their mind of who they are as Christians and how we should be able to respond to those around us. And one interesting thing that I just happened to catch at the tail end here a little bit, I guess you could say, is in verse 18 of Galatians 6, as Paul closes this letter, this is his final departing words, I guess. He says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen." I thought that was interesting, to be with your spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 4, he ends this letter to Timothy here in a very similar fashion. Verse 22, "The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you." Paul's worried about people's spiritual life, isn't he? He's worried about where they're at spiritually. He's not worried about the clothes on their back or the food they have to eat or the roof over their head. Yeah, that probably wasn't a very fair statement. He probably was worried about that. But what he was worried about more than any of that was where they're at spiritually. What can I do to raise them up spiritually and to help bear their burden? That's the burden that Paul was concerned with. I think it's an important thing for us to think about and to look at when we think about bearing one another's burdens and helping our brother and helping them in a troubled time. Do we approach it from a standpoint that we're going to help them spiritually, or we're concerned about a worldly appearance of ourselves or of them? And the bottom line is, at the end of the day, that does not matter. The spiritual outcome, the spiritual well-being, is where our focus should be. And Paul puts that out for us very, very clearly. And we see that, I think, as Paul closes his letter to the Galatians. The reason that he was talking about all of the stuff prior to this, the reason he was worried about them, the things they were putting on, of the burden they were putting on of the law, the old law and stuff, it was not just so... Paul wasn't correcting them just to do it, because he knew it was wrong. He was doing it because he was trying to help them spiritually. He knew that they were going to be pulled down by that. It was going to destroy people, and it was putting a burden on the church that did not belong there, and it was going to bring it down. And that's the burden he was trying to bear. He was trying to share with them. It's like he was trying to lift that burden off them by reminding them, hey, this is who you are. This is what we do. We don't need to do things of the old law anymore. We're free from that. We don't have that burden anymore. And I think that's a good mindset for us to approach things once in a while, to take this example that God has given us in Scripture of in Galatians here. And I think it's an important part of who we are as Christians, and we need to have it in the front of our mind often, I think. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the day we have today. We're just glad that we can be together to look into your word and to study together and to see the truth that is there and see where it is so relevant for us and important for us to walk in the Spirit and in the truth. Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity we have. We're thankful that we can read these passages and these instructions in your word. And when we come to the part where it says, if you belong to Christ, and those that belong, we need to be confident and encouraged that we belong to him. And I just pray that everybody can do that as they move through their life. They can know that they belong. And I just thank for the hope that we have because of that and the encouragement that it gives us each day, knowing that we are part of your kingdom. We're just thankful for Jesus and his sacrifice that he's given us the opportunity to have our sins forgiven, and that we can have that indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, and we can belong to you. We just pray in Jesus' name. Amen.